sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. Prepare yourself for a thorough musical delight today as we head to Ohio for a visit with Charlie Mossbrook. I saw a video of one of Charlie's performances and knew I needed to get to know more of his music. Besides his exquisite guitar, piano, lyrics, and voice, Charlie has a rich backstory and forestory. A heavy-duty triathlon athlete, Charlie had a spinal cord injury that left him a high-functioning quadriplegic, and he used the life detour to delve deeper into his music, pouring his passion and compassion into organizations like Music to Life and Stop the Hate. In the past 15 years, he's released 9 albums and more, touching hearts and raising up the world. There was so much to share with Charlie that you will find a full, uncut version of this interview on northernspiritradio.org with an extra 20 minutes of Charlie's amazing stories. Thanks to Andrew Jansen for production assistance today. Right now, Charlie Mossbrook joins us via Zoom from Cleveland, Ohio. Charlie, thank you so much for joining me today for Song of the Soul.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
We're at your inner lair here. I'm looking on your walls. Is that a square banjo or guitar?
It's a cigar box guitar. Right at the beginning of the pandemic, a friend of mine called me up and he said, hey, my uncle made something I want to give to you. Met him on a street corner because we weren't having anybody in the house, and he handed it off to me. It's a cool little instrument. It's got a really funky sound. It's 3 strings, fairly easy to play, but sometimes when I'm recording, I really just pull that off the wall to give it. I know. I just like the clunkiness of it.
Right next to it, that thing looks kind of like a guitar, but it looks maybe like it's more what?
It's a little mandolin. Another friend of mine gave that to me, and it belonged to his father. Then after his father passed, I randomly said I'm in the market for a new mandolin. He said, I'd like you to have this and keep it. You're going to do more with it than I can. And again, just like that cigar box guitar, it's got a cool, old-timey, clunky sound that every once in a while when I'm recording, that's the sound I need here.
And I see a dulcimer right next to that.
Yeah, it's a mountain dulcimer, which that's fun to play every once in a while.
Your singing is wonderful. I wish I could hit the right notes. I love singing, but haven't got the same ability that good singers have. When did you catch the folk virus?
That was a high school thing. So Miss Nichols, who was our school librarian and my roommate, my later-to-be roommate, Wendell's mother, I was in her library and I said, I need a book for my class. I need to just read something. She said, what do you like? I said, well, I always enjoy the Steinbeck books when we read those. She said, what else do you like? And I said, well, I've been listening to Bob Dylan and the band and Grateful Dead and stuff like that. And she pulled out Bound for Glory by Woody Guthrie. And she said, this might fit perfectly because it sort of covers both the Steinbeck narrative and the Dylan point of view. And I said, cool. And so I started reading it. Boy, the image that Woody Guthrie created of himself in that book, I just fell in love with. And I felt like his ability to take that music and to really channel positive change through the music, that pulled me in. It was the idea that these weren't just, you know, the rock and roll songs that I had been listening to through the Rolling Stones. They actually had some serious meaning and they could provoke change. So that meant a lot to me. And there was a simplicity to it. There's a simplicity where I could clearly see myself being able to play that song, whereas there was a lot of other music that I really liked that I wasn't sure that I could do that. I couldn't do that by myself. And as time moved on and I became a street musician, I just fell more and more in love with the idea of just a guy with a guitar. So I sort of followed that. And that path, of course, takes you into a whole new world of folk music. It's much broader than just Woody Guthrie or Pete Seeger. You know, folk music is a pretty big arena.
often ignored by most of the dominant culture here, which is bizarre because I'm just aware that so many people would find so much connection through much of the folk music. Well, let's get started with your songs right away, Charlie. Again, folks, we're speaking with Charlie Mossbrook. He's in Cleveland, Ohio. I got to know you because it was your birthday recently. I saw something on Facebook, and I saw a performance you were going to be doing. And I said, hey, I got to check this guy out, listened to a couple of your songs, and said, this is a person I want to know.
Oh, cool.
And so I went on my way and got a hold of you and so on. So how shall we start out your song of the soul?
Why don't we start with Remember Who We Are? It's a song, you know, it's, I was speaking about Woody Guthrie and that early influence. Remember Who We Are was written after the Parkland shootings, but more specifically after the students stepped up and spoke up for themselves. They took ownership of their situation. They felt like nobody was supporting them or helping them, so they spoke on behalf of themselves. So that prompted me to start thinking about everybody else who felt the need to speak up for themselves, to stand up for themselves. So that's where that song comes from. One student looked at a camera on CNN or one of these. He said, we're going to be voting soon. You remember who we are. And it just clicked. So I wrote that. And soon after I wrote it, it was sent off to the Woody Guthrie Folk Festival, where it was chosen as second place, I think, in 2018 in the Woody Guthrie Folk Festival songwriting contest. That sort of felt like I had come full circle. I was being recognized in Okemah, Oklahoma, by the Woody Guthrie community for a song after having started doing all this based on Bound for Glory.
Well, there's some glory you're bound for, folks, while listening to the song Remember Who We Are. It's title track of his 2018 album. This is Charlie Mossbrook.
Remember who we are. Come from near and far, women marching in the streets and bent-kneed athletes. And we are refugees and dreamers, the immigrants you blame. We will come from near and far. Remember who we are. Remember who we are. We carry open scars. Push these wheelchairs forward. You cannot disregard us as we block the halls of Congress. Full of fear in the graveyard, we will come from near and far. Remember who we are. We stood up to the Klansmen and the Nazis just the same. To atone death for president for whom the victim shared the blame. For a deadly act of terror, to him it's just a game. And we will come from near and far. Remember who we are. Scientists and teachers, reporters on TV, investigators, lawyers, oh, the proof is plain to see. The evidence is obvious, so don't look the other way, 'cause we will come from near and far. Remember who we are. And you say that all lives matter, but it doesn't seem that way. But the consequence of living is dying every day. And if the motto of the police is self-service and neglect, we will come from near and far. Remember who we are. And the schools are filled with children who live with different rules. Drills and lockdowns put in place can't save them from these fools. And as you pander to the worst in us, young lives are laid to waste. And we will come from near and far, oh, remember who we are. And we will come from near and far, oh, remember who we are.
I hope, folks, you love that song like I do, Remember Who We Are by Charlie Mossbrook. His website is charliemossbrook.com. Come via nordenspiritradio.org. If you're spelling challenged, as I am, you get Northern Spirit Radio correct. And Charlie Mossbrook, maybe not so easily. Charlie, by the way, is an I-E Charlie, not a E-Y or any of those other variants.
I like to tell people I spell my name with a Y.
Well, of course. And you've got that gift of gab. I've watched enough of your performance videos online. You talk so easily with the community. Is this a gift of your childhood or is it something cultivated?
I don't really know. I am gabby. There's no doubt about that. You know, my dad was a journalist. So, I mean, speaking was something that we all did. My brother's in communications. My sister's in communications. My older sister is a school teacher. So, you know.
Genetic.
Yeah, there's definitely something in there. My mom is as gabby as I, or she was as gabby as I am. So, yeah, it's probably something that was with us, but also cultivated. I mean, I always felt that when you're performing as a single artist with a guitar and you don't have another band to back you up, and part of your show is the conversation that you're having with the audience and weaving that in without it just being the, my next song is blah, 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 but actually starting to tell stories and making that a part of, you know, making it a conversation. The whole experience needs to be a conversation.
Absolutely. When you were introducing Remember Who We Are, you mentioned the Parkland students saying we have to stand up for ourselves. And I think that statement would have special meaning for you. Now, in the background behind you where you're sitting, I see a bicycle. And I'm trying to figure out how that plays into your life because since, I think, 2010, you've been a quadriplegic.
I'll tell you, prior to that, I was an Ironman triathlete. I did 140-mile triathlons a couple of times and any number of the 70.3 races and God knows how many other races, along with a bunch of marathons. I actually use something called a hand cycle now. So you pedal with your arms and you're in a recumbent position. My wife, however, has really fallen in love with the endurance sports as well. And we've met since that. I mean, she met me in about 2011. But she's fallen in love with endurance sports and pedaled across the state of Ohio in the past. So that's her bicycle. She's got two bikes back there. I've got a racing wheelchair and a hand cycle behind me. So that explains the bicycle on the wall. But my studio is also our garage.
Well, with all this music you've got available to you, let's share some more with our Song of the Soul listeners. What's next?
Let's go with Something to Believe, because I think that sort of rolls into those stories that I was just telling of being newly injured and having to start believing in something greater than myself to move forward. We're not starting to believe in something greater than myself, but really lean on it more so than I ever had in the past, I guess is a better way of saying that.
Did your beliefs change post the spinal cord injury? Because some people, you get mad at God because God let this happen to you, or maybe you turn ever more to get the deep strength that can be harnessed from a connection to the divine. You refer a lot to gradations of belief, but you also refer to people turning to booze and dope or their football team or whatever. Right. There's so many ways that many people focus who they are based on what they believe. What happened for you in your life?
I don't think my beliefs changed. I think I just felt myself starting to really rely on those things more so than I had in the past. I mean, some of the Buddhist thinking really helped me through a lot of depression and a lot of cyclical thinking that was not healthy for me. But I think with the injury, there was just a greater need to rely on those beliefs that I had already formulated. And a lot of the lyrics from that song, you know, talking about, you know, I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and we have the Browns, the Cleveland Browns. And so I'd sit in my window and I'd watch people walk down the street on Sunday morning going to the bar to go watch the Browns, and they're all decked out in their Browns gear. And I'm thinking, what a lost cause this is. I grew up a Browns fan, but I thought, what a strange thing to just put your faith in every single week. And people really do put their faith in that. And you can see it in the way they do. On Monday morning in Cleveland, Ohio, when the Cleveland Browns have won a football game, everybody's really nice to each other. The city feels glorious. unfortunately, that doesn't happen as often as it could.
So if we're going to visit Cleveland, we should do it on the Monday following.
A Browns win, that's a great time to be. So yeah, if you're here with your Packers or your Vikings or whomever you happen to be supporting, if you're going to be here on Monday morning, root for the Browns a little bit because you'll enjoy a really fun city.
Well, football salvation is just one of the topics that Charlie Mossbrook refers to in this song. There's many others that you'll recognize as objects of belief in his song, Something to Believe.
We all need was something to believe. Maybe it's God for you. Maybe you think that everything's a lie. Lord, I hope that isn't true. Some folks live for personal wealth. Hallelujah for every coin.
Hallelujah.
Some folks just believe in themselves and they carry it in their groin. Cause we all need something to believe. Cause we all need Sunday comes and the faithful rise and the full football team. They keep the faith while they fall behind and they live in the American dream. Cause we all need well, something to believe. Cause we all need through the day. Some go to church cause they still got hope and they get on their knees and pray. We all need something to believe. Cause we all need
Charlie Mossbrook is our guest today for Song of the Soul. His website is charliemossbrook.com. Links on nordenspiritradio.org. That song was Something to Believe. I did wonder, Charlie, as I listened to that song, it seemed to me that there was a possibility you were speaking earnestly of something to believe, but also scoffing at some things that people do believe in.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not sure where you are.
Early on, I had a friend of mine who was playing music with me. And so I was kind of picking on him a little bit because he was really investing a lot of his energy in a need for wealth and fame and things that I didn't value as much. So I was sort of scoffing at him. And then I sort of started to, you know, with the football team and the booze and the dope and this sense that he was the center of it. But then at the same time, I felt that, you know, we do need something to believe in. It gets us through our moments. It gets us through our days. And we all, our beliefs lay in different areas. I tend to think of my brother and I were pulled by two different spirits, it seems. We both come from the same place, but we're both pulled by two different spirits. And I don't know, I don't really understand that and how that works, but he tends to lean towards more of a, I don't want to say a physical world that he's pulled by, because I certainly love my things. You know, I've got my instruments, I've got my bikes and things like that. I'm not going to say that I am this perfect individual that is not susceptible to consumerism, because consumerism, you know, it dictates a lot of my time and thinking. But he's definitely pulled by something completely different than I am. And I tend to lean in the opposite direction. And I don't know what that is, but I don't want to take away his belief system any more than I want to suggest that my belief system is stronger or more important than his. And I think we all just lean where we lean. And sometimes what we're believing in is not healthy for us. And sometimes it's very healthy for us. The booze and the dope would definitely be an unhealthy belief.
And so I think you got to give us another example of your music so people can know why I'm so in love with your music.
Let's Do It for Love is sort of the basis of the core of my belief, I think. It came out of the current situation we're in, somewhere. My father was dying at the time of the election this past year. He died a week after the election. The day after the election, he was in hospice and he was on a lot of pain relievers. And he came to and he asked me who won. And I told him and he rolled his eyes. And then he went back into the delirium that the drugs that they were giving him put him in. But he had that lucid moment. And so I was kind of in a dark place between the election and my father dying. I wouldn't say I was kind of in a dark place. It was a dark place. It was a really difficult time for myself and my family. And I just sort of started strumming on this ukulele, and this chorus, Let's Do It for Love, came out. And I thought, yeah, that's what we're doing it for. And then a couple weeks later, I saw Garnett Rogers do a keynote speech at NERFA, which is the Northeast Folk Alliance Conference. It was in Maine. And he said, Do It for Love. And I kept thinking about it. So all of a sudden, the song that was a bare bones song just sort of really takes shape. And I felt like I'm onto something here. This is what we all need to do right now. Whatever it is we're going to do, we need to do it for love. And that needs to be what is pulling us. That needs to be the direction that we're trying to take this. So I wrote that song and it just sort of had a fun feel to me.
It does have a fun feel to it. You said that you were definitely in a dark place when this came to you.
Mm-hmm.
This does not feel dark at all. It feels uplifting, exciting, inspirational. And folks, it's called Do It for Love. I'd like to give you that as advice, but you don't necessarily need my advice to know to do that. But fortunately, Charlie Mossbrook is singing it for you. Here's Let's Do It for Love.
Let's do it for love. Let's do it for the people in our lives. Let's do it for joy. You know we shouldn't have to try. Let's do it for life. I'm not talking about mine, not talking about you. Let's do it this time, 'cause it's the right thing to do. Let's do it. Much more we don't know. The stars so far away. In the space we can grow, as it all seems to fade away, let's do for love. Let's do it for love. Let's do it for the people in our lives. Let's do it for joy. We shouldn't have to try. Let's do it for life. I'm not talking about mine, not talking about you. Let's do it this time, 'cause it's the right thing to do. 'Cause it's the right thing to do.
Charlie Mossbrook is letting us know that the reason to do it is for love. The song is Let's Do It for Love. It's his newest release. It's out there as a single. Track him down via his website, charliemossbrook.com. I have links to all of my guests these past 20 years that we've been doing Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action on my website, northernspiritradio.org. So you'll find that link to Charlie and all these other good folks on my site. You'll find a place to post a comment. I can't tell you how much it matters to me when I hear your comments, folks. So please let us know what you think of Charlie's music. Let us know what you think of the other folks, who I should be having as guests. Two-way communication is the best, so please visit us at northernspiritradio.org and do that. You can also donate when you visit, if you wish. I do not take money from corporations or government, in part because I think you trade off your values. You have to stifle some of your words. You have to rein yourself into limits of other organizations if you do that. And I want to represent the values of my listeners for world healing. So please join us, donate if you can, but also remember to visit the 35 or so stations where our programs are syndicated. And if we're not syndicated on your community radio station, let them know they should. It doesn't cost them anything, but it helps enrichen the world. So please join us at northernspiritradio.org. Find the link to Charlie Mossbrook. Track down his albums. I've seen 9 of them or so. And since you mentioned, Charlie, that you wrote a couple of them before your spinal cord injury, I imagine that there should be a bigger list than I actually know. But you don't have to tell us all of them, but that song that we just heard, it was released as a single. So give us some more, and you're going to keep us happy, I think.
Well, thanks. I try to be thoughtful about what I put on paper as I'm, I do it on the tablet now, but even if I'm writing a topical song, I want timelessness to be there. So it needs to speak to me in a way that hopefully in 30 years is going to continue.
So why don't you share a song?
All right. I was talking about collaborating with people earlier, you know, as before I started talking about being a DIY person. So one of the performers around town that I've always looked up to and admired is a man named Bill Lestock. And he's a brilliant mandolin player. I think the world over needs to know who this man is. He's unique in what he does. It's beautiful playing. And so the song Up Among the Stars, which is just a song that just came to me, and I had played it with him. He played fiddle, and I said, hey, I want you to play fiddle on it. And he looked at me and he said, oh, no, that's a mandolin. All of a sudden, the stars exploded out of his mandolin. And I'm like, you are correct. I am not one to question you any longer, because he really is a musical genius and he can see what's happening. That song itself was my mom's favorite. And I always tell the story along with it. She loved it, I think, because she was a big sci-fi nut. So she saw herself up amongst the stars. And I like to say that she was such a big sci-fi nut that she could speak Vulcan. I mean, at least that's the memory I cling on to.
Well, this is such a sweet song. Your mother loved the song. Where did the song come from?
I think I was out on a bicycle ride, and I just sort of had this image in my brain of this woman who was, I think I pictured her as just sort of like in sort of a prairie home kind of thing, like out in the country somewhere. And she's just sort of living a quiet, semi-depressed life, but all of a sudden has this sort of image of something bigger.
I can understand why this was your mom's favorite song. Folks, it's Up Among the Stars. It's a song recorded with Bill Lestock along with Charlie Mossbrook. It's from the album A Long Time Gone, released in 2017. Let's go traveling, folks. Up Among the Stars.
though often overlooked, she thought that this time she'd get the dance. Like the laundry on the line, she swayed as she waited for her chance. And up among the stars, she thought that this would be her chance to shine, and as bright as she had ever shone. Well, up among the like a billion points of light, some are dim, some burn bright, far away across the Milky Way, burn on forever, so it seems. Some light flashes in our dreams, fade away while we are just getting started. And up among the stars, we hope that we would be spinning aloft forever. Together we are up among the like a billion points of light. Some are dim, some burn bright, far away across the Milky Way, burn on forever, so it seems. Some are flashes in our dreams, fade away while we are just getting started. Up to believe that the scene inside her mind, it was true. So much so that she did not need someone to see her through. And up among the stars, across the galaxy, she left this world behind her, never to return. From up among the like a billion points of light, some are dim and some burn bright, far away across the Milky Way, burn on forever, so it seems. Some are flashes in our dreams, fade away while we are just getting started.
That was Charlie Mossbrook's mother's favorite song, Up Among the Stars, and maybe now it's yours, too. I wouldn't be surprised if it grabbed you that way. So wonderful. And I sense a little bit of maybe tragedy or transcendence in there. Sometimes those go together really well. Did you have the feeling?
Yeah, I mean, there's a sadness to this person's life that she was wishing for something different. Certainly with my mom's life, she ultimately died of ALS, and it was a very difficult thing to watch parents go through.
How long of a decline was hers?
Fortunately, it wasn't very long. I think 2 years before she passed, she went to Paris, and you could start to see some early symptoms in some of the photos where her head's hanging kind of low. And then in the next year, things started to accelerate. And when she was diagnosed, it was about a year after she was diagnosed that she passed away. And those final 6 months were very, very difficult for all of us, but mostly for her, because I don't think she enjoyed her body going through that. I think she felt like she had a few more years in her.
It's hard when your mind is still there and your body isn't there. It's hard when your body's there and your mind isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways for it to be out of sync and to be painful. I've been thinking for years about how I feel or don't feel about what we do for dogs. We talk about putting them down to spare their suffering, but we keep people around for as much suffering as can. And I'm a pacifist. I'm a Quaker, right? Killing is not something I can envision being part of. But on the other hand, I feel the compassion that can go into euthanasia.
Yeah, about a year, almost a year ago, we had a cat who we adored. His name was Louie. And we put him to sleep at that time. But he had, from probably about 2 years of age, had an autoimmune issue that caused all kinds of problems. He had a full blood transfusion where they actually used dog blood because they couldn't find his blood type in cat blood, in the feline blood. There were so many times as we kept spending money to, you know, help him maintain his life, and he had to go through these daily medicines, a lot of medicine that we had to give him. There were times I just thought, boy, are we doing this for him or are we doing it for us? And it's, you know, it's a challenge. Should we have just naturally let him go earlier on, or was there a selfishness in us to keep him alive? I love the time we spent with him. He was a wonderful cat, so I don't regret it. But there were definitely questions at times whether we were doing it for him or we were doing it for ourselves.
Hard call. One of the things we haven't talked about, Charlie, is your association, your engagement with the Folk Alliance. Folk Alliance Midwest is where you're vice president, I believe, at this point on the board.
Actually, I'm vice president of Folk Alliance International now. I had previously been president and vice president of the Midwest region.
Wait, you were your own vice president? Or not at the same time. Okay.
No.
I thought this might have been a Donald Trump kind of thing. I'm going to be this and this and this, and I'm putting myself the head of this center. And
I'll be the head like the city I used to live in. The mayor declared himself the head of public safety. And so every time there's a need in the city, I say, oh, well, we'll check with the mayor, see if he wants to be the lifeguard this week. No, I was vice president for 3 years, and then I was president for 3 years after that. And then I joined the board of Folk Alliance International after I was term limited out of Folk Alliance Region Midwest, where for the past year, I was just a general member of the board of trustees of Folk Alliance International. And as of yesterday, I assumed the role of vice president of Folk Alliance International.
Wow. And you don't look worn out at all. I mean, I'm just, you do so much activism. You've got your monthly playing you do at the spinal injury place. There's so many commitments that you have to bringing healing music to the world. I don't know if you do more benefits than paying gigs. I think it was maybe on your website, or maybe it was on some other site. Could have been your website or Facebook or something else. In terms of price, it had $4 signs. And I don't know, that means that to get you there for a gig is, I guess, thousands of dollars. I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I'll track it down for you. But I figure you give away so much of your life in terms of nurture to others, that you are the richest person on the earth because you're giving away so much.
Well, thanks. I definitely have a feeling. I wake up in the morning and I just get to work at what I think needs to get done or what I know is on my schedule. And I feel like if I get to do that with a guitar in my hands, I'm winning. Ultimately, at the end of the day, there's money in my bank account and I'm paying the rent and my wife and I are comfortable and happy in our minimal life. We're not bathing in riches by any stretch of the imagination, but we're comfortable and we're happy and we don't extend ourselves beyond our means. So I don't really worry about money all that much. If I just do what I'm supposed to do every day, I feel like if I'm on time and in tune, everything else will fall in place.
Some of your work is with Music to Life and Stop the Hate as well. Could you say a few words about that collaboration, that work?
Music to Life is something that Paul Stoke, Peter Paul and Mary and his daughter put together. And it really just supports a lot of musicians who are doing things in this world to make the world a better place. Sometimes it's protest music. With Stop the Hate, I do that through an organization, and they help to support me personally through that. I do that with an organization called Roots of American Music, which is local to Cleveland, Ohio. And we bring music education and music to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to access it, including schools, including students. So we bring music education into schools, and sometimes we supplement the music programs that are already there, or sometimes we become the music programs. I know with the Montessori schools, I become the music teacher. With some of the public schools, I'm supplemental. So Stop the Hate it's a multi-dimensional contest. And I say because they've got several different components to it. One is the Speak Out program, which is an essay or poetry writing contest. And then the other one is Sing Out, which is what I do. I actually work in both programs. I teach the essays, but Sing Out's where I've had the most success with the students. In the Sing Out program, we share with the students a video that's presented by the Maltz Museum, which is the Jewish Heritage Museum here in Cleveland, Ohio. That video talks about the Holocaust. It talks about Jesse Owens doing what he did during the Olympics in the 30s. It talks about the Jim Crow era. It talks about how hate is still a big part of the world that we live in. And it's shown through things like 9/11 and things that are happening in current events. So we show them all of that. We discuss what they've experienced through watching that. And then we talk about what's going on in their own community. And through those conversations, we start to the building blocks for a song. So I have some students who just won this contest. I don't know when this is going to be aired, so I won't say what school it was, but some students of mine won the contest. 66 schools were involved. And I asked the students, what do they see in this world that's unfair? We were looking for injustice. And they said, the dress code. They didn't feel the dress code. Well, what's unfair about the dress code? And the girls said that the guys aren't held to the same standard. I said, that's injustice. Let's go from there. So I invited the girls to speak their piece, to speak their mind, to speak their truth, to talk about the struggles that they have being young women in this world. And then, not wanting to leave the guys out, because part of the injustice was that there was an imbalance in how they were being treated, I invited the guys to explore how they could become better men and better support the women and better support the injustice that the women felt that they were living in. And they went with it. They wrote, and we built a song around it, and that won the contest. But the real magic is in having those conversations and exploring these ideas and having the students being able to sit down and see where injustice exists and where they can make this a better world, not just demanding that other people make it a better world, but taking an active role in making it a better world for us all. And we do that through the songwriting process. And I've had a lot of success with my students. We've had first place in this contest, different schools, but yeah, it's exciting. It's a lot of fun, and I'm proud of the work that they do and how willing they are to open up and to take these challenges and to explore these ideas at those ages. I love doing it. It speaks to who I am as a songwriter and enables me to be a part of other people's lives in the songwriting process.
It sounds wonderful. I'm really grateful that you choose to do all of this world healing work. And by the way, you mentioned Noel Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary fame. I'm going to be interviewing him, a week and a half from now, finally getting around to that. And since he's the last of the three of them still around, I'm just hoping to capture, of course, it's his music, his soul that we're hoping to reflect. But there's so much magic that they've been part of, that he's been part of, that they were part of, that the seeds that grew into you and me.
And I really believe that those seeds are continuing to be nurtured through him and his daughter, Liz Sunday, through Music to Life. Very much in this, I remember right after Pete Seeger died, people said, oh, what a shame. There'll never be another Pete Seeger. And I said, oh, absolutely there will be, because Pete Seeger planted a lot of seeds, and there's thousands of us running around who are doing that same work. Pete Seeger lives in a lot of us, I believe.
Well, let's continue with some of the way that the gifts of previous generations of music have matured in the fruits from Charlie Mossbrook. What's next?
Well, let's go with Silhouette in Blue. It's a song that I wrote on a train ride coming from New Orleans out of a Folk Alliance International conference back in 2020. We were starting to hear about the pandemic that was developing in Europe, and Kobe Bryant had died that night in a helicopter accident. And as the train rolled through the Mississippi Delta and up from New Orleans to Chicago, I started chronicling the ride, thinking about the lives that had lived there and the experiences people had had and the different musics, you know, both civil rights oppression, the jazz and the blues that came out of that area, and all the music that happened between Chicago and New Orleans. I think in the opening verse, I say, she doesn't care about grace. She's in the young woman on the train is getting off in Memphis, and she doesn't care about Graceland. That's not what she's there for. She's there to visit the Lorraine Motel. She's there to explore the history of Dr. King and the civil rights movement. And to me, that's at the core of what the song is.
Silhouette in Blue.
Next stop is Memphis. There came a warning from the crew. Impatiently she swayed with a suitcase in her hand. Slow in the tempo with St. Paul and me, she exits at Central Station. She don't care about Graceland, no, she's here for Lorraine. In a silhouette in blue. Everybody is on board, and the conductor, he shuts the door. With a flam, a tap, and slowly back up to speed, the coaches roll. And like a street corner dancer up high on his toes, just a moment to rest between shows. 'Cause the crowd moves along when you're in between songs. In a silhouette in blue. On the city of New Orleans, the dining car is closed. Just for the folks who ride, well, up in coach they won't heat tonight. And it's been raining since Jackson. I dreamed a refrain, a song of abandoned campsites, and that juke joint is silent. My Stella won't hold its tune. In a silhouette in blue. But since we left Louisiana, there have been no more parades. When the locomotive roars, it sounds like Buddy Bolden's horn. And now we're almost through homeward. There are no delays, no trouble reported this morning. Our arrival's on time, on track number 9. In a silhouette in blue.
As Charlie Mossbrook mentioned in the intro, that song, Silhouette in Blue, is part of the fruits of the early pandemic back in 2020-21. It's on his album, Together Alone. In the meantime, let's get that one last song to conclude today's Song of the Soul with Charlie Mossbrook. What is it?
The song's called Finally a View. It's short and sweet. It was written on the ukulele. I was in Kansas City in a hotel for the Folk Alliance, and I hadn't written a lot of love songs, and I just started thinking about my wife, and I just thought about how much I care about her, and I had this sweet little tune on the ukulele and just started writing, and it just felt good.
And so the name Deeply Fond of You, you can't just say I love you. because that's been used too much. The song by the Association, if you recall it, cherish is the word I use, because I could say this, I could say that, and then you'd know I want this or that. So cherish is the word, and deeply fond of you. I assume you don't hesitate to tell your wife that you love her, too.
Oh, I tell my wife I love her all the time. And I tell people who I am not feeling fond of at the moment that I still love you. You know, in the political climate we're in, I let people know I'm not fond of what you're doing right now, but I do love you, if that makes sense.
It makes all the sense in the world. And I'm so glad that you use those words. I do, too.
So, yeah, fondness to me indicates that I really want you near me.
Folks, I hope when you listen to this song and bask in it, if you will, that it leads you to want to be close to Charlie Mossbrook's music. You can find it via his website, charliemossbrook.com. It's linked from northernspiritradio.org, as usual. And just bask in his music, find so many of the other riches, and go out and see him sometime. I take it, Charlie, that you're not doing worldwide tours frequently from Cleveland, but maybe you are.
I haven't done anything major since the pandemic began. I bounced, you know, last year I was in Illinois quite a few times, and Michigan, and the various parts of Ohio, and then wherever the Folk Alliance pulls me. But I am looking forward to getting back out and at least doing a trip around the country again, another rail pass trip. And world tour, well, we'll see the state of the world and how available that is to us in the future.
It feels to some of us like maybe we need to go on a permanent world tour, though I know that our country needs us right now more than ever.
Yeah, I was invited by a few people while I was in Canada to get my things together so I could come escape. And I said, oh, no, I've got to stay there and fight for myself and people who are more vulnerable than I am.
Well, I do appreciate so much of your work. We'll have links, folks, on the NordenspiritRadio.org website to a number of the groups and activities that Charlie Mossbrook is part of, Music to Life, Stop the Hate, and, of course, to his website. But in the meantime, just sit back and bask in Deeply Fond of You. Charlie, thank you so much for joining me today for Song of the Soul.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
And folks, I'm deeply fond of you also. Here's Charlie Mossbrook's song. We'll see you next week for Song of the Soul.
I could not think this. And if we could take this a moment together that we shared in a dream. Time we both travel, the years pass us by, and now it's all brand new. I'm deeply fond of you. The ancients before us, they always found a way. It could have been survival, or just to get through the day. Could have been love, like I have for you. And now it's all brand new. I'm deeply fond of you. I'm deeply fond of you.
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org, guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.